The relationship between doctors, nurses, patients, and caregivers is ever-changing. It has since the advent of healthcare and will continue to evolve as long as we inhabit the Earth. Here to talk about innovations and collaboration at the UC Davis Schools of Medicine and Nursing are the school's deans, Dr. Allison Brashear and Dr. Stephen Cavanaugh. They join me next on Studio Sacramento.
This Studio Sacramento episode is supported by UC Davis Health, where doctors, nurses, researchers, and staff share a passion for advancing health. Learn more about their latest medical innovations at health.ucdavis.edu.
Dr. Brashear, how has the relationship of physicians and nurses changed over, say, the past 25 years in terms of how they work together?
Well, now the relationship is much more team-based. So one of the things that my partner Steve and I are really working on at UC Davis is creating those teams. And, you know, we want medical students now to see that. We want to model that for them. You know, the best care for the patient is when people are working at the skills that they trained to be. And so having nurses contribute to the team, pharmacists, social worker, doctor, therapist. I'm a neurologist, and so when I take care of stroke patients, all those people I just listed are part of the team.
And Dr. Cavanaugh, I would ask you the question to follow up on that. Where does nursing end and medicine begin?
That's a very good question. You know, there's a lot of technical aspects that we share, and I think one of the great advances, and certainly at UC Davis, is the opportunity for both medical, nursing, and PA students, physician assistant students, to train together. I think there's a more coming together over research and scholarship. There are common grounds that we have to find. I do think there's some very technical aspects that clearly are in the physician and surgeon domain. But I think when we're coming together for patient care and their families, there is a more coming together than probably has ever been, as you've identified.
Well, it's interesting because I was talking to a young lady a couple of weeks ago who's interested in going into the field of healthcare. And she asked a question. I told her we were going to do this show, and she asked me a question. I said, well, I will ask these two experts this question. She doesn't know whether she wants to be a physician or a nurse. And in nursing, that's inclusive of, you know, an NP, nurse practitioner, or a physician assistant. She's like, I don't know how to make the decision. Great grades, you know, very committed to caring for others. What would be your advice?
Well, I think that one of the things is that healthcare is changing so much. So, you know, it used to be very top-down when I went to school, and now it's very much more team-based. And so either of those decisions would be great. You know, what we want to do is kind of think about putting patients at the center, and then you kind of need to follow your heart on what type of school, and particularly the school, what does the school stand for? So, you know, at Davis, we're really trying to take care of health disparities. And so she would find a home, you know, in one of the, she needs to figure out what she wants to do, what really, really floats her boat.
And I would say with both medicine and nursing are in many ways reinventing themselves for both the needs for consumerism and the need for treating people in ways that we haven't traditionally thought about that.
Like home care.
Home care, absolutely. I think the biggest challenges that I think we're all seeing is how do we best manage people at home, which involves not just education to patients, but their caregivers, their children, understanding more about the community and social determinants, things like nutrition, housing. And I think the field is absolutely thinking about how do we best do that. And I would imagine there's always going to be a high-tech component of healthcare.
And you all have been leaders in telemedicine.
Absolutely.
Is there any work going on in terms of, with the students, in terms of the integration of telemedicine into that home health healthcare space?
Yes, in a number of ways. So there's both joint education and training, because the thing about telehealth, I think there are certain skills to be learned, but it's really how one rolls it out and adapts it to the benefit of the patient and their families. And we say that a lot between the two of us, because it would be wrong to think that we just treat patients. Patients have families, and families often don't live where the patient is being treated. And so we have to think in a much more wider geography way. And so joint training, all the things that bring nursing and medicine and physician assistants together, is an essential part of what we do.
Well, I think UC Davis is actually taking care of all of Northern California. So, you know, we are the academic medical center for Northern California. And to meet that need, we need to train people on telemedicine. So we don't need people driving 6 hours for a 20-minute follow-up appointment when it can be done with telemedicine. So we're trying to train medical students and nursing students and other providers in that mind shift of providing care, the right care for the patient at the right place, at the right time.
And in the mind shift that the worlds of medicine and nursing are experiencing in terms of working much more collaboratively and in tandem, how does a patient experience that that's different than what it is that we might have been historically used to?
I think we're trying to put the patient at the center of the care. So as Steve mentioned, thinking about the caregivers, it might be family members or a spouse, and what do we need to give the patients to make them successful and allow them to achieve their healthcare goals. So I think that's part of the difference, as opposed to things used to be on doctor time, and now they should be on patient time.
That's really an interesting place you went, because what I wanted to ask you was, what have been the biggest challenges, respectively, from both of your professions in aligning themselves with this new world that is, one, you know, part of sort of the changing nature of the practice environment, but secondly, probably being demanded from the outside in terms of expectations?
I think we want to develop lifelong learners. Mm-hmm. So, you know, medicine at one point, you memorized a bunch of facts. Now the skill set not only is you have to know foundations, but you have to be a lifelong learner, because the way medicine is now is not the way I trained. And, you know, 10 years from now, medicine will be changed even more. And so I think that's the big thing, is not only do students need to be lifelong learners, but faculty, providers, all the people that encompass and touch the patient should be lifelong learners.
Absolutely. And in fact, just going back to a previous answer, I think one of the interesting change is how we talk about transitions of care, because we talk about episodic care, where certain things happen at certain times. The real differences you ask about, I think we're going to see much more organized and coordinated transitions from maybe the hospital to the home or to other facilities. And I think that's going to be the hallmark of where the future is going to be, coupled with how we use technology and science and computers going forward. And I think the biggest changes for us we're seeing is how we use simulation, and not just necessarily hospital-based simulation, but how we practice and work with patients in environments so our practitioners and our students are really equipped for some of the challenges that are
this
coming
is
up.
Intriguing. Give us a little bit more background on how simulations, mm-hmm. I guess, that are technology-based,
yes,
are being used and sort of transitioned into the patient care environment.
Oh, absolutely, and both medicine and us and the physician assistants are doing that too. But I think one of the things we do is we actually rehearse many of the classical challenges that we would see as nurses and physicians in a safe place, mm-hmm. so that we can actually rehearse issues when patients' conditions deteriorate or change, and of course celebrate when they get better. But what we've found is that we can get better outcomes by doing that. We can take the stress of some of these early young practitioners who are just novices to learn and make mistakes in a safe environment. And that's almost throughout our curriculum, not just at UC Davis, but also throughout the nation.
Well, I think the one thing is we're also trying to get people to think along the continuum of care. So trying to figure out how to keep people healthy, not just when they're sick, but all the lifelong continuum. And I think that's going to really take a partnership with nursing and physicians and a myriad of people. It's really important shift from just giving someone a prescription and saying, I'll see you again in 6 months. Mm-hmm. It's what Steve's talking about, is reaching out to the family, making home visits, using telemedicine, using all the science and technology to make sure people have access to care, take their medicines, all those things. Mm-hmm. It's really exciting time to be a doctor and a nurse and to be in healthcare.
To follow up with caregiving, I know we've talked about it, but just how important that is. And I think it's something we forget, just how many millions of people around this country are actually caregivers. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the leading edge things that both medicine and we are working on in nursing is how we work with caregivers. And we have a caregiving institute that is doing nothing else.
What are some of the needs that you all are discovering that are the most crying out for, you know, increased interventions on the parts of the students that ultimately are going to be out in the practice environment?
I think to some extent we have to build confidence. There's something to be said from being in the safeness of a hospital, maybe, where you have all the equipment of people around, to where we're talking about transitioning people to more independent practice, to work in areas where there may not be support. So the education has to match much more where we think they're going to practice. And one of the world-renowned aspects of what UC Davis, and I know medicine has done extremely well in your rankings in primary care, is preparing practitioners for what that's going to be, managing people in different communities, and the mindset and the skill set, communication skills, for example, conflict management skills, that people are going to find in the community, even going right down to how do you negotiate your way into somebody's home?
Really?
well, because one assumes when we have patients in hospitals that they are, to some extent, willing participants. But sometimes one has to follow up with people and knock on the door. How do we transition people from knocking on doors to allow people into their homes? And we rehearse that. We actually simulate those sort of things. How do we go into somebody's home and be respectful?
It sounds like, to use your word, continuum, that the continuum of what it takes to be a well-trained nurse or physician today goes way beyond just the medicine.
Oh yes, we need not only lifelong learners, but we need people that have emotional intelligence and connect. UC Davis is ranked number 9 in the country in primary care.
Really?
By U.S. News and World Report, yes. And part of that is because we are so committed to overcoming health disparities, and our students are incredibly committed to going back and taking care of the people who live in California mostly, and improving their health where they live. And that is a huge commitment and a huge benefit to the state of California.
You're talking about technology and how technology is continuing to evolve and create new opportunities. The one thing that, just as an outside observer, one notices is that technology many times can automate things that it took a human being to do. And so we hear that there's a nursing shortage. We hear that there's a coming physician shortage. And we hear with both that wellness and burnout are two really big issues. How is it, 25 years from now, will we go to the physician or the health clinic for the same things we do today? Or will it be far more limited because people will use technology for their own care?
So people are using technology now. They're making appointments online, video visits. UC Davis has been ahead of the curve in telemedicine. So I think that technology will allow physicians and nurses and other professionals to really be doing what they're trained to do. I think that's a big plus of technology.
if you were asking me to look into my crystal ball, I think much more healthcare is going to happen both in the home and in the workplace.
Yes.
And I think it's the site of technology. Right now, we've cited technologies in hospitals and in the home. I think there's much more to do in the everyday living space that people have.
Really?
Whether on their wrists, mm-hmm. their workplace, wherever they spend time with their leisure, the notion of unobtrusive collection of data that is going to advise a health condition is, I think, what the almost the gold standard is in the future, because we don't want to always spend our time fixing things. We'd be much better to be able to get ahead of disease, get ahead of things. And I think that must be the goal. So I don't know what's going to put us out of business.
Well, I think it's going to be particularly true for geriatrics.
Yes.
So if you
yes.
think about geriatrics, and you know, people do best in their own home, mm-hmm. and so if we can figure out ways to keep people safe in their own home, monitor them for possible changes in their blood pressure or falls mm-hmm. or other things to keep them safe, I think that would be huge.
Yeah.
You know, UC Davis has this incredible Alzheimer's program, an incredible mm-hmm. neuroscience program. And we are building a geriatrics program to be kind of the front door of that. And we will be expanding that so that we can bring patients into UC Davis and they can also have the benefits of our amazing Alzheimer's program, our orthopedic program. You know, we have this tagline of first best only. And I think if one thing I would say is we need to tell that story a little bit more about all the amazing things that are going on at UC Davis.
Now, you all are based at a university,
mm-hmm.
and then there's the environment outside of that that have regulators and payers and, you know, all mm-hmm. sorts of entities. Are you bringing those stakeholders along with you in these discussions? Because, mm-hmm. you know, one of the things you hear often in healthcare is that the care follows the form that the reimbursement exists mm-hmm. within. And that doesn't necessarily, that might have worked 20, 30, mm-hmm. 40 years ago, but it doesn't necessarily speak to what you all are discovering mm-hmm. as the best way mm-hmm. to practice and manage healthcare.
Indeed. I think it'd be fair to say we spend as much effort as we can to educate those who are both legislators, those who influence that process. There is so much going on, it's the pace of change. And we perhaps glibly talk about how fast things are changing, but they really are. And in fact, the challenge sometimes is what is fact and what is fiction? What can we actually do now? And I think in a fast-paced environment where we're thinking about access for patients and obviously clinical trials, mm-hmm. which is a very important thing, it's very hard, and I'm almost sympathetic to an extent, to keep up with what is going on in the real world. And how do you make legislation, policies, and laws to support creative use of technologies for the betterment of the patient? And that is a challenge we have to work on. And I think it's something, certainly throughout my career, it has never been far away from the top of my points of conversation.
You all are located in Oak Park, which has historically been known as a community that's faced a number of challenges. It's evolving itself right now. Some would say that it's gentrifying in aspects mm-hmm. of it, but there's still a lot of needs in Oak Park. How do you all and your students leverage your location in order, one, to create rich experiences for your students in collaborating and working better, but also benefiting the community?
So the students are incredible with many student-run clinics. When I first met the students, they are incredibly dedicated to making sure that the underserved get the health care that they need. And to that end, they are out in the community, as are our faculty, trying to change some of the paradigms of care. And there are patients who need more care than others, because maybe they don't have the social support or the money. It doesn't do us any good as a physician to hand someone a prescription if they don't have any gas or money for the copay or worse, transportation to the pharmacy. And so the students are, and our faculty are very interested in making sure that we change that model of care so that we can get the patient the care that they need in the right place that they need. I think the other thing is the medical center is very committed to the communities around our medical center. We are moving something called Aggie Square, which you might have heard of.
A little bit, but would be love to hear more about it.
Well, it is incredibly exciting. We are going to have new research buildings. We will have lifelong learning buildings, and there will be students living in that area. And then we're going to focus on some things such as food is medicine and some other things that are really Sacramento brand specific. And Davis students will have rotations in Sacramento, and Sacramento students will have rotations. So it's really going to be more of a urban-rural community. That is all predicated on creating more jobs. And so we're creating more jobs for the people who live in those communities.
Really?
And that is part of what we want to do. And we want to make sure that we're training people not just to be physician, senior level, but we're also training people on, you know, working in a stem cell lab. We have a big stem cell lab. We make stem cells on the facility that Aggie Square is going to be. And so training people to work in labs and do research without necessarily being a PhD, those are all great opportunities that Aggie Square is going to bring to the region.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah, and I think particularly the nutrition that you mentioned,
yes.
I think it's going to be a very important one. I think food security, ways in which local producers and providers can not just sell their wares, but actually learn better ways to farm and produce material, but also allowing our students to learn from the communities, because community gardens, for example, a big
yes.
thing which I've had some experience with, have become a very valuable way to bring students and communities together on a common goal.
Well, that's really interesting, because as renowned as both of your institutions mm. are, mm. equally renowned is the School of Agriculture. And I'm curious as you're training the new nurse and physician workforce of California, how it is that you all are integrating in some of the exceptional advances that are coming out of agriculture and the other parts of the university.
Oh, there's a tremendous example. I mean, even with the veterinary science, there's a lot of work to do on how one manage anxiety and grief in humans and animals. The connection between pets, animals, and humans is one there's still a lot of work to be done. And we actually look to some of our veterinary colleagues to a better understanding of what those relationships are. It's all part of
really?
Managing the family. The family sometimes involves pets and animals. And so as nurses, we actually get involved in understanding more about how animals can affect both communication and well-being of people. And I think that's an outstanding opportunity, an example of how we come together across a very large university. Mm-hmm.
The issue of wellness and burnout, which we touched mm-hmm. on a mm-hmm. few minutes ago,
yeah.
is one that seems to generate a lot of conversation today. Is the training of the nurses and physicians at UC Davis taking into consideration that our new generation that's now moving into the field is concerned about quality of life and how their practice and employment environment looks like? Are you all doing anything on that?
Yes, in fact, probably one of the things you asked earlier about the 25-year changes, I think one of them is much more open conversation about looking after ourselves as nurses or practitioners. In my day, it's going back a bit, that was never a conversation. It was always patient first. I think the conversation has moved towards how do we best look after a number of people, including ourselves. And certainly, so in our programs, we work on resilience training. We work on how to recognize stress and burnout, because we live in very fast-paced lives. Best days of patients, worst days of patients. And this has to have an effect on individuals. And we simply have to prepare students now, future workers, for this. And UC Davis as a system, through its chief nurse, Toby Marsh, has got a number of programs to work with nurses and other professionals on managing just those issues. It's something we talk about. And I think that's a very important starting point.
UC Davis hired one of the first wellness officers in the country, Dr. Peter Yellowies. And And focusing on wellness is something that is going to be integrated into everything we teach our students and our faculty. It is the numbers of burnout have come down a bit from the initial reports when we started talking about this in the past, but it still needs to be focused because we don't want to lose providers that have been trained because they get burned out on leave. And that is something that nobody talked about when I was in training either. And so we are committed to that and are starting to really look into that about what we can do to improve wellness for all of our providers.
Is that also generating a conversation internally about even your own sort of policies, practices, procedures as a way to kind of test drive all of that?
I just saw something about self-care is not selfish. Actually, when I was walking out the building, and I thought, oh, that's really, that just frames it nicely, that you need to take care of yourself. And that's important for physicians. And that wasn't the message that you got many years ago. You just didn't get that message. And so we are trying to reframe that because we can, with a physician and nursing shortage, we cannot have people burnt out.
And I think we'll leave it there. Right. Thank you both.
Thank you very much.
And good luck to you and your work.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And that's our show. Thanks to our guests and thanks to you for watching Studio Sacramento. I'm Scott Syfax. See you next time right here on KVIE.
Thank you for listening to Studio Sacramento from KVIE Public Television. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes to help others find it.
This Studio Sacramento episode is supported by UC Davis Health, where doctors, nurses, researchers, and staff share a passion for advancing health. Learn more about their latest medical innovations at health.ucdavis.edu.
All episodes of Studio Sacramento, along with other KVIE programs, are available to watch online at kvie.org/video.